Chapter 9, Teacher Evaluation in Waldorf Elementary Schools. How teachers are evaluated has direct bearing on the question raised by our documentation of Waldorf methods of assessment. In the absence of externally applied measures or standardized student testing, how can we know that Waldorf teachers' student assessments are valid and reliable? Waldorf schools that are members of OSNA are required as a condition of membership to have teacher evaluation systems in place. These are to be peer evaluations, and the faculties of the individual schools have the responsibility for carrying them out. How does this work in practice? We returned to the three schools in our study to discover exactly how they monitor and evaluate their teachers. For this chapter, we drew from several sources: interviews that we conducted with the experienced teachers in those schools, documentation provided by those schools related to their teaching standards and evaluations, the OSNA Effective Practices Resources for Member and Affiliated Schools on the OSNA website, and our familiarity with these topics from long personal and professional engagement with Waldorf education. We think some generalizations about systems of teacher evaluation in OSNA member schools are reasonable, given the fact that their implementation is a requirement for OSNA membership. But without further investigation, we cannot assume all systems are equivalent in their details to the ones we documented for the three schools. Teacher Evaluation and Professional Development, OSNA's Policies. Effective Practices, the best practices resource available to all schools that are full members or those on the path to membership, see Chapter 7, includes standards for the professional development and peer evaluations of teachers. OSNA provides sample forms and checklists for schools to use in teacher evaluations, but the faculties of individual schools formalize their own systems and set specific evaluation criteria. The resulting evaluation process must ensure that Waldorf teaching standards are met by each teacher. OSNA's approach to teacher evaluation matches that of many education scholars working with this issue. The best way to hold teachers accountable is peer review, and the best systems start with clear teaching standards and include teacher performance-based assessments, appropriate use of evidence of student learning, and professional support aimed at improved teaching rather than ranking, rewards, and punitive action. Darling Hammond, 2013, Wiggins, 1998, pages 289 to 309. Teacher mentoring within schools is required as well as teacher evaluation, and is a large part of the teaching culture of Waldorf schools. Within the last 5 years, OSNA developed a mentor training program to bring consistent standards to this aspect of the professional development of teachers. It is recommended that mentors have regular meetings, if possible weekly, with their mentee to discuss the curriculum preparation, teaching and discipline strategies, observation techniques, and methods for tracking student progress. New teachers should have a mentor for 3 years, while experienced teachers should be mentored when new to a particular school. OSNA supplies a mentoring program assessment form that schools may use to self-evaluate their own mentoring programs. All the teachers who participated in the study have been mentored at their schools early in their teaching careers and had continued receiving support in ways we describe below. In their schools, the length of professional experience determined the length of a formal mentoring relationship. Waldorf faculties engage in what Darling Hammond, 2013, recommends as career-long learning. The most effective professional development is intensive, ongoing, and connected to practice, focuses on the teaching and learning of specific academic content, is connected to other schools' initiative, and builds strong working relationships among teachers, pages 102 to 105. The ongoing professional learning typical of Waldorf teachers meets these criteria. The mentoring and teacher evaluation processes that we describe below focus on classroom practice and content presentation. Weekly pedagogical and other faculty meetings provide the time and space for teachers to study the writings of Steiner and other educators. Teachers typically study and discuss contemporary theorists as well as current events, scientific discoveries, and medical breakthroughs affecting the health and development of children. Teachers stay current on educational issues elsewhere in order to ensure that their teaching is relevant to the concerns of students and their families. Waldorf educators recognize that the environment surrounding the child affects school performance both physically and psychically, and teachers know that they can best serve students' needs if they know as much as possible about life in the modern world. They stay aware as well of nutrition, sleep habits, after-school activities, and anything else that is part of students' lives. Commitment to ongoing professional development is common to all Waldorf faculties. Most teachers at most schools continue their professional education by attending one or more of numerous conferences and workshops that are offered throughout the year and in the summer. OSNA sponsors regional and national conferences as well as local in-school workshops. Most schools provide funding to ensure that their teachers can take advantage of these options for professional development. In all these ways, the Waldorf approach corresponds to the most effective professional learning advocated by Darling Hammond. Teacher evaluation systems in three Waldorf schools. In our investigation into the details of the systems in place in our three participating schools, all of which follow OSNA's guidelines, two features were prominent. Teacher evaluation was collaborative, and its objective was not ranking, rewards, or penalties, but improved teaching through mutual support and sharing in regard to instructional and other strategies. These same features characterize the best teacher evaluation systems described and advocated by Darling Hammond, 2013. The three schools were similar in many details. Each school had a faculty committee charged with supervising teacher evaluations. This committee set up a schedule for peer evaluation of teachers teaching grades 1, 3, 5, and either 7 or 8. Two or three experienced teachers were assigned as evaluators. In some cases, the schools would bring an outside evaluator, for example, to evaluate a teacher of foreign languages. The teacher under review prepared a written self-evaluation, and the review team made classroom observation using checklists of criteria that the teacher had in advance. The evaluation was based on A, the teacher's self-evaluation, B, observed performance in the classroom, C, evidence of student learning, for example, main lesson books, projects, D, lesson plans, E, student reports, F, and the teacher's professional contributions in continuing education. In all three schools, at least two colleagues observed a teacher being evaluated and did so on several separate occasions within a certain time frame. They took note of every aspect of the teaching, the lesson plan, instructional techniques, assignments and student work, and the teacher's ability to meet individual students' needs. Teachers were not expected to discuss their contemplative practice as part of the evaluation process. Whether they took up this part of their work or not was understood to be a personal and private matter. After the classroom observations, the next step was a conversation with the teacher in which the strengths and weaknesses were discussed and recommendations made. The teacher participated in determining the recommendations for her next steps toward improvement. The evaluation team submitted a written report to the College of Teachers, and follow-up took place within a given time frame depending on the nature of the recommendations and the degree of remediation needed. The college made decisions about teacher retention. The faculty supported the teacher evaluation process by providing substitute teachers when teachers serving as evaluators needed time for class observation and meetings. In all three schools, funding was made available when teachers received recommendations for attending workshops or courses to upgrade professional skills. In addition to teaching, Waldorf teachers are often expected to speak in public at conferences, parent evenings, open houses, and public information sessions. For this reason, one of the schools added a public speaking component to the evaluation checklist. Another noteworthy component of teacher evaluation in all Waldorf schools is classroom hygiene and aesthetics. In the systems we looked at, teachers were evaluated on such questions as, is the space serene and organized and conducive to learning? Is there artwork on the walls? Are shelves for supplies clean and well organized? What are the most effective ways to evaluate teachers? The debate on education reform in recent years is increasingly concerned with the question of how to recognize, measure, and reward excellence in teaching. Darling Hammond, 2013, calls it a maelstrom of ideas that have swept the country, page 7. In her comprehensive review of effective, leading to better student learning outcomes, and ineffective ways to evaluate teachers, she argues convincingly for evaluations whose process and purpose are primarily to support teachers in improved teaching. She advocates for the principle of collegiality and for learning communities that will do more to support student achievement than dozens of the most elaborate ranking systems ever could, page 3. The best systems will have these conditions: clear professional teaching standards, a continuum of teaching performance assessments that measure actual teaching over time, evaluations of teaching based on multiple measures, including the use of an instrument, for example, a checklist or rubric, to address planning, instruction, the learning environment, evidence of student learning, drawn from a range of assessments appropriate to the curriculum and grade, professional learning opportunities, governance structures that make possible effective evaluations, including the participation of expert teachers, and teacher participation in all of these, 2013, pages 142 and 143. Those are the necessary conditions or critical framework for the best systems. She sums up the characteristics of an evaluation that takes place under those conditions. The evaluation, A, is based on professional teaching standards, encompassing stages of expertise from novice to expert, includes multiple kinds of evidence of teaching practice, student learning, and professional contributions. C, is conducted by well-trained evaluators who provide constructive feedback and support. D, includes opportunities for professional development. E, involves teacher collaboration. F, involves the participation of expert teachers. G, is overseen by panels of teachers and administrators who facilitate well-grounded personal decisions and effective operation of the system and ensure that it provides useful learning opportunities for teachers. Page 153. The teacher evaluations that Darling Hammond recommends are performance-based assessments of teaching that are based on multiple classroom observations in which teaching characteristics are aligned with teaching standards. A well-designed performance-based assessment should capture teaching in action, observe and assess aspects of teaching in relation to the teacher's effectiveness, examine the teacher's intentions and strategies, looking at teaching in relation to learning, and use rubrics that vividly describe performance standards, pages 25 to 49. For the most part, both the general approach to teachers' professional development mandated by OSNA and the specific teacher evaluation systems that we found in place in the three schools corresponded closely to those recommendations. The school's systems were peer review, performance-based systems whose purpose was to improve teacher competence and teaching quality. The College of Teachers and its committees oversaw the review process. Experienced teachers carried out the evaluations in cooperation with the teacher being reviewed, and multiple pieces of evidence of the teacher's work were taken into account. As an example, the teacher evaluation policy at Seaside Waldorf School had a detailed explanation of the policy and process currently in effect. The purpose of teacher review was to be supportive of teachers to help them see their strengths and challenges in the various roles in which they engage in the school and to aid in their professional development. The policy set the schedule of reviews, 1st, 3rd, 5th, 6th, and 8th grades for all class teachers, the composition of the review team, 3 teachers with 1 as leader to keep track of the process, the pre-review conversations with the teacher, post-review meetings and follow-up, and provisions for following up on questions raised by the review. A list of questions was given to the teacher to guide her self-review, addressing her ability to deliver Waldorf curriculum, classroom management, relationships with students, parents, and colleagues, preparation and planning of lessons, and methods of student assessment. The level of collegial support in the case study schools was high. One teacher at Seaside Waldorf School described various venues and occasions for the teacher collaboration at that school, always aimed at excellence in teaching. Class teachers met every week to discuss students, courses, and school events. They were constantly in touch with each other about lessons. There were mentors for new teachers and some master teachers to provide help in addition to the regular peer reviews. At report writing time, they partnered with another teacher to read each other's reports. They were, at the time of this interview, meeting to review the 5th and 6th grade math curriculum to make it more effective in building up the skills needed for higher order thinking. In planning instruction for each year, teachers were to consult the student learning standards that are part of the school's accreditation document. According to the checklist used in teacher reviews at Whittington Waldorf School, reviewers took into account the lesson preparation, organization of the classroom, and students' work. They looked at the teacher's presentation, including her grasp of content, whether the level of instructional challenges was appropriate for the age of the class, the relationship of the teacher to the students, the amount of student interaction in the lesson, and the pacing of the lesson. Under the category of professionalism, they evaluated ability to manage student conflicts, participation in school functions, initiative and follow-through, willingness to work with colleagues, and timeliness in all aspects of school life. At Seaside Waldorf School, reviewers used a checklist for classroom observations with these ratings: needs improvement, adequate, good, or exemplary. The qualities that were rated with those of the individual as a teacher, for example, pleasant manner, clarity of speech, authority, sense of humor, the teaching of main lesson and students' participation, the pedagogy, for example, the teacher has structured presentation, presents ideas clearly, provides positive reinforcement, invites discussion appropriately, the classroom environment, and collegial relationships, for example, follows through on responsibilities, accepts constructive suggestions. On a collegial evaluation form, the evaluator recorded his impressions on how the children and teacher interacted, the behavior, attitude, and enthusiasm of the students, the teacher's management of the class, the clarity, imagination, depth, and other qualities of the teacher's presentation of material, students' work, materials used, collegial relationships, the teacher's relationships with parents, effectiveness in committee work and meetings. In all three schools, the teacher evaluations focused on the teacher's effectiveness in making students' assessments. Typical criteria for evaluating this were, can the students answer questions correctly? Are all the students participating in the lesson? Is the teacher asking engaging questions? Is there an activity that engages students and allows them the opportunity to discover something? Other evidence of student learning used in teacher evaluations depended on the grade being taught and might include, in addition to main lesson books, projects, book reports, handwork, woodwork, paintings, math sheets, and homework. The 9 teachers themselves reported satisfaction with the experience of being evaluated. They said they were aware of the criteria, understood that evaluations were on a regular cycle, and understood that their participation in the feedback conversations was integral to the process. They thought the evaluations were fair and impartial. According to Darling Hammond, 2013, among the least effective ways to evaluate teachers, failing to lead to better student learning, is to use the results of standardized testing as part of, or the only basis for, the evaluation. In a development parallel with the increasing reliance on standardized test scores to measure student learning, public policymakers now advocate using changes in student test scores as a basis for evaluating teacher effectiveness. This direction in public policy is highly controversial. Darling Hammond argues against such use, which in some cases has led to unfair evaluations, as in the case of excellent teachers whose students' high scores do not change over time, pages 70 to 91. Teaching Standards, the Waldorf Difference. As Darling Hammond, 2013, repeatedly points out, to be informative and useful, a teacher evaluation must be aligned with professional standards for teaching. The most effective evaluations are standards-based observations with feedback to the teacher, page 53. The highly regarded professional teaching standards of the National Board for Professional Teaching Standards, NBPTS, are subject-specific and keyed to the developmental level of students from early childhood to early adulthood, page 21. We quoted this statement because it could easily be mistaken for a description of Waldorf teaching standards, wherein Waldorf teachers are accountable, in regard to what, when, and how they teach, to the age-appropriate developmental Waldorf curriculum. As we emphasize throughout, without further explanation, what Waldorf educators mean by age-appropriate is easily misconstrued. Teachers in public and non-Waldorf independent schools, of course, recognize that children at age 7 have different capabilities and interests from those who are age 12. Teachers everywhere use different materials, approaches, and expectations for different grades. What is different in Waldorf pedagogy is the developmental approach described in chapters 2 and 7. The faculty of children in the elementary years that is most available for engagement in content is the imagination. Students in, say, second grade may well be able to respond to lessons in a textbook written at second grade level, but will do so at the expense of something more important at that age. Throughout elementary school, Waldorf teaching at its best aims to address all capabilities of students, recognizing that the development of cognitive abilities is interwoven and depends upon the development of feelings, affective, and willing, psychomotor abilities. Because of the distinct Waldorf developmental approach, an evaluation team working with teachers of grades 1 through 3 or 4 will look for how well the teacher activates the children's imaginations. Absent this, the teacher would not be meeting the needs and taking advantage of the sensibilities of students in these early grades. The questions asked in a teacher review for a teacher of grade 3 may include, Are the content and activities chosen effective in engaging the children's imagination, awakening their enthusiasm, providing a balance of movement and quiet listening activities? Review of a teacher teaching grade 7 or 8 will entail questions focused on the teacher's effectiveness in presenting traditional academic content and assessing students' proficiency in cognitive learning. A review team will look at the narrative reports of teachers of early grades. The team extends its scrutiny to student reports from various blocks and how teachers are tracking and assessing individual academic work starting in 5th or 6th grade. In other words, evaluations are based on Waldorf teaching standards that describe a changing role for the teacher as the grades progress. Teachers are held accountable to those standards by their colleagues in the faculty and by OSDA membership review teams. Teachers are expected to deliver the Waldorf developmental curriculum, which prescribes not only what is to be taught when, but also how it is to be taught. The delivery of the curriculum, in other words, must be appropriate to the age of the children. In second grade, a Waldorf teacher may engage students in mathematics by guiding them through beanbag counting games, whereas in seventh grade, he will expect them to sit quietly with pencil and paper to solve a set of problems. The teacher evaluation systems in Waldorf elementary schools can lead to teacher dismissals. The College of Teachers makes these decisions. The reasons for dismissal may include the teacher's lack of knowledge of subject matter, needing to be taught at a given grade level, the lack of ability to impart information in a way that students can grasp, lack of classroom management skills, inability to discern the changing needs of the class and transform teaching to meet these needs, unprofessional behavior, or other reasons. Dismissals happen only after careful deliberation and repeated attempts to support the teacher in addressing deficiencies. A system in which peers are reviewing peers brings up the question of objectivity. This may be thought a special risk when schools are small and have only one main lesson teacher per grade level, as is the case with most Waldorf elementary schools. The teachers we spoke with thought that the use of clear criteria in their school's systems helped ensure objectivity and fairness. Waldorf school faculties have full responsibility for their schools and for giving the children in their classrooms the education promised by the mission of Waldorf education. We suggest that they are not likely to compromise teaching standards by conducting anything other than rigorous and thorough teacher evaluations. We think that the rigorous peer evaluation systems that we describe here meet the conditions set by non-Waldorf experts for effectiveness and good student learning outcomes. It justifies confidence that Waldorf class teachers participating in those systems are competent to make valid, fair, and reliable student assessments. Close-up, teacher review at Whittington Waldorf School. The school's teacher evaluation system, or to use the school's terminology, teacher review, was a peer review system and was being updated when we documented the process itself. The description of that process, who gets evaluated, frequency, by whom, the process, basis for evaluation and criteria, reflects some minor changes that were about to go into effect. Every new teacher was evaluated his or her first year in the school, whether or not he or she came with experience teaching at other Waldorf schools, and regardless of what grade he or she began with, usually but not always first grade. Also, any teacher starting out with a new cycle, first grade, was evaluated whether or not he or she had completed a cycle at this or any other school. Thereafter, teacher reviews took place in 3rd, 5th, and 7th grade for all teachers. The review was done by a team of 2, previously 3, experienced teachers chosen by the pedagogical committee from among the experienced teachers. An evaluating teacher was usually a class teacher, but not always. Experienced special subject teachers might also serve on a team. The shift from 3 to 2 had been made because it was difficult to coordinate among 3 people, and it was also a human resource burden. The review process consisted of a classroom observation early in the year, by winter if possible. Each member of the review team came at least twice, once to observe main lesson, and once during the afternoon. Teachers who were being evaluated submitted a written self-evaluation based on a checklist of criteria. The team wrote a summary combining their observations and recommendations. The next step was a meeting of the team with the teacher, in which the team made recommendations, and the teacher's self-evaluation was part of the conversation. The teacher wrote a summary based on the conversation and stated what changes, if any, he would implement. A teacher who disagreed with the review would come to a meeting of the pedagogical committee for discussion. The review team reported to the pedagogical committee. If there were recommendations for changes, The team made follow-up classroom visits to monitor the teachers' implementation of those changes within a period of 4 to 6 weeks. In addition, the review team would make a follow-up visit the next year. That is, the team that completed the review of the first grade teacher would revisit that teacher when he would be teaching second grade. The team that did the third grade review would revisit that teacher when he taught fourth grade. If there were serious or continuing concerns after follow-up classroom visits, the pedagogical committee took them to the College of Teachers. The teacher in question might or might not be present when the college discussed this, depending on the type and seriousness of the concern. The pedagogical committee kept records that documented which teachers had been evaluated and when. It retained review summaries submitted by review teams. Documentation of teacher evaluation was one of the issues under examination by the faculty. The school may move toward more detailed record keeping. The review was based mainly on the teacher's self-evaluation and the team members' observations of the performance of the teacher in the classroom. The team also looked at evidence of student learning, such as student main lesson books and the teacher's formal written reports. However, in this school, a teacher's student assessments played a major role in the mentoring system, which was separate from teacher evaluation. The members of the review team used a checklist of criteria for three areas of standards: 1, planning; 2, presentation; and 3, professional. Some criteria under planning were: are the lesson plans clear, concise, and related to the subject? Are reports submitted on time? Is the classroom tidy, aesthetically pleasing, and stocked with appropriate materials? Are main lesson books corrected on time, and do they reflect well the subject and the developmental level of the students? Some criteria under presentation were: does the teacher have a good grasp of the content? Is the teacher well organized and prepared? Is the lesson at a level the students can understand and participate in? Does the lesson address the three capacities of the child: thinking, feeling, and willing, doing? Is the lesson presented in an imaginative, lively, and thought-provoking way? Is there adequate class participation and discussion? Is the lesson paced in such a way that it allows for breathing? Does homework fit with the school's expectation and support the student's participation in the curriculum? Criteria under professional included: does the teacher manage student conflicts well, participate in school functions, cooperate with and support colleagues, have openness and willingness to work with suggestions, guidance, and feedback from mentors, colleagues, and the review process? The school supported the teacher review process by arranging for substitute teachers to take over the class of a teacher who was doing an observation. It also provided funding for any outside courses that teachers were asked to take as a result of the evaluation. Mentoring followed OSNA's guidelines. The faculty assigned a mentor to any new incoming teacher, regardless of that teacher's previous teaching experience. The teacher could request a change of mentor if the relationship was not comfortable. The mentor had one period of class time per week that was built into his schedule for meeting with the mentee. Teachers found that this was usually not enough time, and much mentoring happened outside of school hours. Mentors provided input to the review team when the teacher they were mentoring was being reviewed, but the role of the mentor was only support, and the mentor was not on the review team for that teacher. In practice, the mentor assisted the teacher with daily teaching tasks and preparing to teach subjects from year to year at increasingly advanced levels. The mentor reviewed the teacher's block-end and mid-year reports. The end-of-the-year narrative reports were also read and approved by another teacher, but not necessarily the mentor, before being sent to parents. The school recently set up a parent evaluation process, wherein the parents evaluated the class teacher who was teaching their children. While Waldorf schools have always encouraged parent-teacher communication, this kind of formal process, not required by OSNA, was an experiment unique to this school. The school sent parents a questionnaire using email. The chairpersons of the College of Teachers and of the faculty, these were two different positions, read all the responses for every class teacher. If two or more parents said the same thing, negative or positive, it was written down and discussed with the teacher individually in the presence of the teacher's mentor. The teachers were then required to draft a letter to the parents responding to points that had been raised, whether positive or negative. This letter was approved by the two chairpersons before it was sent out. The teachers found it challenging to write this response, in which they needed to acknowledge honestly the parents' views and propose how they would address any problems.